This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, there was a award for, they were picking the top five photographers in the Buffalo area, and I didn't apply for it or anything. And they just emailed me, and it was from Expertise. Sorry, I had to think of that. Mm-hmm. And that was like maybe 2019. And I did not expect it at all. They emailed me. They're like, hey, you won this thing. And I'm...
Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show, and I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? This your boy, CJ Moneyway. Welcome to the Moneyway Show. Today, I have a woman who has won many awards for her artistic skills. She's an entrepreneur, a confident expert, and a workshop leader. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth. How you doing today, Elizabeth?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on. So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so I have been in photography, in the world of photography since I was 8 years old. Absolutely love it. It was the thing that I knew I was meant to do from a very early age. And honestly, I think I'm very lucky for that because there are lots of people that don't have that surety, which is where I kind of get into finding your purpose. So I've been a business owner since 2012. And that was like the year after I started, I was able to quit my full-time job at the bank. Mm. It is something I love, and you know, I can't imagine doing anything else. And it's a good thing because I'm absolutely unemployable at this point.
Hey, when you're doing your own thing, you set your own hours. No greater feeling than that. But I can't wait till I get to that point.
No, it's a good feeling. Trust me.
I believe it. So, Elizabeth, what inspired you to start Elizabeth Snyder Photography?
So, when I was 8, our home life wasn't great as a kid, but we had family that cared and would come in and take us out once in a while and, you know, get us out of the house. My aunt is only about 8 years older than me. But her grandfather was actually retiring from his job at the newspaper and gave her all of his photography equipment and studio equipment so that she could set up like a small studio in her attic. And before she got it all set, she brought me with her to kind of help her put everything together. And then we did a test run. And when I saw something appear on a blank piece of paper, it was like magic. It was like a real magical alchemist thing. And I was in love. Like, that was it. I knew beyond a doubt that that was what I was supposed to be doing.
So from that time on, at 8 years old, you already knew that this was the lifestyle for you and this is the career that you wanted to go into.
Absolutely. Yeah. She set up a headshot business. And that too, like just learning how to, you know, everybody gives Photoshop a kind of a bad rep for editing, but we've been doing that with film and in the developing, in the darkroom since photography started. Like, people have learned how to manipulate things and learning how to dodge and burn and how to make somebody maybe a little slimmer, you know, or bigger. That was all stuff that was very cool. And yeah, it's something that I truly enjoy.
Hey, you know, my father told me a long time ago, he said, man, go to school and get your education so that you can have a career, something that you enjoy doing, opposed to a job, something that you have to get up to go do every day. And so to me, it found like as though that you have found the perfect career for you.
I have. It's great.
And so, Elizabeth, what have been some of the challenges that you have faced in the photography industry?
You know, the last 4 years have been tough on all of us. So it started with COVID and we couldn't bring people into our studios. You know, we could photograph outside and whatever, but for a headshot business, I worked mostly in the studio. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very challenging, especially when, you know, we had the first lockdown. And then trying to come up with like creative ways to still make money. That was also very challenging.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, people are kind of feeling the crunch of inflation. Like, groceries are super expensive and gas is going up again. And all of these things that we kind of thought would go away after we started to normalize our lives. Mm-hmm. And of course they did not. So, you know, I live in Buffalo, Niagara Falls area, and we've always been kind of a depressed area, but now everything's kind of coming up to the national average and people kind of don't know what to do with themselves. So that has been like industry wide. That has been a little bit challenging. And, you know, actually I kind of like lucked into COVID happening because I had been a couple of years before 2020, I had been diagnosed with cancer and I had to have like all of these surgeries and it ended up being March of 2020 that they all started. And I couldn't work anyway, so it just kind of built it in. So honestly, it's pretty fortunate that that kind of happened, but at the same time, it was tough. You know, like I'm laid up, my husband's trying to take care of me and work his job, and you know, that was my personal challenge anyway with how everything kind of happened.
I'm glad to see that you're all right and everything's moving on in your life, and so
absolutely.
Okay, then. So on a more happier note, what award have you received that surprised you the most?
You know, there was a award for, they were picking the top five photographers in the Buffalo area, and they you know, I didn't apply for it or anything, and they just emailed me and so it was from Expertise. Sorry, I had to think of that. Mm-hmm. And that was like maybe 2019. And I did not expect it at all. They emailed me. They're like, hey, you won this thing. And it was awesome.
I can imagine anytime you win, so especially not knowing, you know, going into it that you were nominated for something, that has to be a great feeling. And to know that your work is being well received and that it's being notarized, you know, so people noticing what you're doing, that's also an excellent, wonderful feeling. So
it is. Yep.
So, Elizabeth, based on your experiences, how can someone overcome their fears?
Oh, you know, that is, it's very hard to overcome your fear. It kind of hit me after I had gotten sick. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden I'm like, why was I worried about doing things? And when you're kind of hit with something that's, you know, devastating, like cancer, or you have something that you need to overcome or start thinking about, like worst case scenario, it's not the things that you've done that you regret. It's the things that you did not do that mm-hmm. you regret. And it gave me a whole new outlook. Like, I had always wanted to try out for a play. I tried out for a musical, not that I got the part, but didn't do it. And there are like, you know, open mics and stuff that my daughter's doing now. And I'm like, oh, that would be cool. You know? Yeah. So kind of getting over your fear of like public speaking and performing. And I spent my whole life kind of, I don't know if I can get up on stage and all these people judge you. And now, like, I love public speaking. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. And I feel like I am helping to reach more women through public speaking and through, you know, putting my message out a little further than Buffalo than I was just having one person at a time coming through the studio. And I absolutely love being a voice of service mm-hmm. to these women to help them, you know, overcome their own fears and overcome their own self-confidence, because as women, we struggle with that a lot. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, you're the only one that, you know, cares about what you're doing in your head. Like, everybody else is like, oh, look at her, she's doing great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long road to get there, but you have to, like, if you don't rise above where you're comfortable, you don't grow. You have to do the scary stuff. Mm. And, you know, starting slow is good. And then taking like that huge leap, you're going to feel like you climbed a mountain at the end of it. It is just the best. It's the best feeling.
I agree with you, because as I said, I was on a phone call with a guy before me and you start talking. And a lot of times, you know, it is that step that you have to take, and it's the patience and the perseverance that, you know, you endure as you're going through certain challenges in life, you know, and to be able to go through some of the things as you have before mentioned, and to have the spirit and the willingness to share your story and to go out there to try to help others and other women, you know, overcome some of the things they going through or some of the things that you have experienced that they may be experiencing now is it's a great thing, you know, and need more people that's more willing to give themselves to others, you know, to make a difference. That's the only way we're going to make a difference in the world today.
I agree 100%. Yep.
So, Elizabeth, can you share with us a memorable moment in your career?
So I was thinking about that not too long ago. And I think it was 2015. And I had taken a workshop. It was in New Jersey, so it was a little far for me. It was about 6 hours away. And I got to meet Cliff Mountner. And if you're not in the photography world, you probably don't know who he is. But he is a lighting magician. Like, he just knows everything about natural light and off-camera flashes and on-camera flashes. And he's like legendary. Like, mm-hmm. we all want to meet him. And I did get into this workshop, and it was absolutely everything that I had ever wanted. And he taught me so much, and definitely still using everything that he taught me to this day. And I was just so excited that I got to meet him and learn from him, because it's like you got to actually physically be there and learn from a master photographer like Cliff Mountner. And that was probably my highest point. I loved it.
Now, you know, I can agree with you, because I've heard somebody say that it's like you got a vision board. Mm. And so on this vision board, you got Cliff Mountner, you know, and once you get them, it's like, wow, I had this. I thought about this. This is what I wanted. And when it comes to pass, you know, the feeling is just gratifying, you know, like, wow. Absolutely. Like me. And I've said this before on another podcast, like me, I hope I can get to the point where I can be recognizable, because if there's one person that I would like to interview and just talk to, Magic Johnson. I would love to talk to Magic Johnson because I was, you know, I played sports, and when I got into sports, he was my role model. That's the first person mm-hmm. I ever watched. And if I can sit here and be across and talk to him like I'm talking to you, I'd be like, I wouldn't know what to do, Elizabeth.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I'd be so in awe. So I hope one day that that comes to pass. And so, Elizabeth, as a profile picture expert, what would you say is the number one mistake that you see over and over again?
The number one mistake is some people, not everybody, but there are people that need a profile picture for the website, for LinkedIn, for, you know, whatever it is that they're going to be using online. Mm-hmm. And they'll use their wedding picture, or they'll use, you know, just one where they think they look good, but they're at the beach. And when you cut your head off, it looks like you're not wearing anything. So iPhones against the wall, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into having a great headshot. Mm-hmm. And I think because we all have cameras now on our phones, we all have access to these. I mean, the processing in them is fantastic. Like, a lot of them are better than like the first or second generation digital camera I had. Mm-hmm. And it's all about light. The camera doesn't really matter. It's more about how you're using light. And that's what the camera's kind of picking up, is the highlights, the shadows, the midtones mm-hmm. that makes a picture. So if you are just taking the picture, it doesn't always equate. There's also, you know, facial stuff that goes into that, and learning how to emote and learning body posture. Even though it's just a headshot, it does make a big difference. So, you know, I think it's just that it's expensive, right? Like, people don't want to have to pay for headshots. Mm-hmm. So they use a Candid or whatever. And it just, when you have important clients, or you are trying to get a promotion or a new job, people are going to cyber stalk you. And if you don't have a great picture, it takes like not even a second. I think I just read a new survey. It used to be 2 seconds, and now it's less than a second that they make that judgment. And you can't afford to lose that time with them.
So this one on my list, but you brought something up. You say people don't want to pay for headshots. So just to ask the question, so how much do a headshot actually run?
It depends on who you go to. Mm-hmm. They can be anywhere from $100 to the $600 range, or more, kind of depending on who's taking your picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you get a student photographer who's learning and excited to do it, why not try with them and just see how it turns out? But
hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shaped them, so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less cards going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Usually people go for like the cheaper ones and then they call me. So it does make a difference.
Okay. Let me ask a question, because most people that's listening, you know, to you on the podcast, whichever podcast show you're on the CJ Money Way show today. So say like if I wanted the headshot and I wanted to get it done from you. Now, I'm not in New Buffalo. I'm not, you know, in the Niagara Falls area. How could that be possible?
Oh, I travel.
Oh.
I definitely travel. Yep. I go all over the place. I've been to Georgia. I've been to Texas a couple of times. I've been to Florida, New York City, Washington, D.C. So usually East Coast. But yeah, I travel.
Oh, okay.
I bring everything with me and we set up studio there. Or if it's too far and I have to fly, I usually rent stuff where I am. And then we go from there.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, okay. One more question. When taking a picture, like you was mentioning about the phones, people taking pictures on their phones and things of that nature. So is it best to do it horizontally or vertical?
I like vertical. And people are going to disagree with me here too. Horizontal's great. It does make a better square. But I like vertical because I have more room to work with where I crop. So if you're putting it into a square, if you cut the sides off, that's the horizontal. If you cut the top and bottom off, that's the vertical. I feel like I have a little more room to work with in case I don't want to cut like right here and I want to go a little lower. Mm-hmm. That information's there for me to do. So I default to vertical.
Okay. Y'all heard it from the photographer professional, vertical.
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth, how often should one change their profile page pictures?
I get asked that a lot. For men, it's usually depending on how often you change your hairstyle. Mm-hmm. But usually like 2 to 3 years, every 2 to 3 years is okay. For women, it's usually every year. We change our hair, we change our hair color, we change our makeup, we change our style. And anytime we make those shifts, we do need to get a new headshot because we don't want to have, you know, an older picture where everything's different and people don't recognize you. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Okay. So for men, every 3 years.
And
for women, when things change, you know, like you change your appearance, you might want to change your profile page appearance too. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear it about realtors all the time, because they put their faces on everything. And there was a couple of stories that I've heard, but the one that stands out was there was a guy selling his house and he picked the agent and she came and she was about 20 years older than the picture and he didn't recognize her and decided that that's just dishonest and didn't end up using her. So it kind of can be a big deal.
Okay. So what are your future plans for photography company, Elizabeth Snow?
I am so glad you asked. I'm actually in the midst of changing things up right now. So I am hiring actually more people, like actual employees. I was doing a lot of independent contracting for people, but now I am starting to scale. So I have an assistant and a editor already. And I'm looking to bring photographers in to shoot in my studio while I'm not shooting. And it will free me up to do more with, I'm actually almost done with my book. I'm so excited. And more speaking gigs. So, and travel and all of that. So I can kind of concentrate on that. The business is still going to run. And then I'm still going to be taking pictures when I'm not, you know, on the road.
That's a good insight. And, you know, that's something that I envision, you know, just listening to you saying what you're saying, that's something that I envision that I want to do.
Mm.
And to hear that, you know, that you went through the phases that you have went already gone through, and this is something that you're actually working on now, it encourages, you know, not only myself, but, you know, probably some other people that's listening too, because you always have a bigger vision than the vision that you're at, you know. And so you always want to expound and expand on certain things. So that's what I want to do. I don't want to just do a podcast show. I want to be able to bring people into the building and hire people to do podcast shows and, you know, do music and things like that. But sometimes when you have a vision and you try to expand your vision to other people that can't see it, it's kind of hard to get people on board with what they can't see. You know,
absolutely.
You know, like, but as I've learned, and I know you've learned as well, that regardless if somebody can see it or not, you just got to keep doing what you see, you know.
And then,
then they'll get in line.
You have to have faith in yourself. You know, like, we're all intuitive. Like, we all have that gift. We just have to know when to listen to it. And it's very important to outgrow things and know when you have outgrown something, and to change it up constantly. Because if you don't, it just, you know, if you're staying the same, but the world is changing, like look at COVID, we've all had to shift.
Yeah.
You're never going to grow into the space that you want. It's hard. It's hard to do because you're very comfortable and you're like, oh, but why would I change? I have no reason to change. So usually, and I just actually got in trouble for this. A friend of mine is a counselor, and I did not finish my thought when I said people don't change. Mm-hmm. What I meant was people don't change without a reason, typically. Mm-hmm. So something's got to happen, bad or good or whatever. But there's always some kind of like turning point, and you're like, oh, I just don't like this. You know, it's you're working all the time, and then, you know, you spend your free time just vegging on the couch because you're so stressed out or whatever it is. And when you find your thing, the thing that makes you so happy that it doesn't seem like work, it isn't work. Mm-hmm. Like you want it more than sleep.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs, creative people, they know this. And it's important to just go for it, because when you're authentic, people are going to be drawn to that. Mm. And not listen to other people. It's hard. There are always going to be people that are in your circle that don't want you to change, mm-hmm. and will almost get angry when you do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you know you've outgrown some of the people in your circle too.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that you bring that up, because as I said, you know, me and my friend, we were just talking, and I told him, I said, you know, a lot of times, I tell people this all the time, a lot of times, you know, he'll open up a door for you, but sometimes you can't go through the door that he has opened up for you because you're trying to take people along with you that's not meant to go through the door. And so a lot of times, as you was alluding to, a lot of times we don't even have to not have people go through the door. They'll just start falling off and don't want to go through the door because they don't want to see you go through it either. You
know, absolutely.
And those are the challenges that we face. So, Elizabeth, before we end, you said something about your book that you're almost done writing. Can you explain to us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, still working on the title with my editor, but it is about finding your passion or finding your purpose in minutes, not years, and all of the things that kind of go along with following your dream and sticking to it and including it into your life, even the tiniest little bits, so that you are happy. I didn't realize that nobody really knew the importance of art and to get art into the hands of people who are in lower socioeconomic stuff. So when I was very young, I had my children and got a divorce and had no food. So the woman I was working with for my aid had gone off on medical leave, never gave my case to somebody else. So there was like 6 weeks there where we had nothing. And I lived very close to a food bank about a mile away. So in the winter, I had to bundle the kids up and take them there. And, you know, when I was doing those things and like just trying to juggle money and bills and figuring out what I can pay because it's going to get shut off with what can wait, I was miserable. You know, it's not a happy place to be. And I kind of had gotten away from what I wanted to do, which was always photography. And as soon as I picked up a camera again, because I had sold the one that I had because of money, as soon as I got a hold of another one, I remembered why I am a creative person and wanted to do this. And that's what I dedicated the rest of my life to, finding a way to make this work. And, you know, working three jobs, and one of them was photography, and that was how I made it work for a while. And when we don't have the arts, when we are too poor to like include it into our lives, it makes us miserable. And things are starting to be gatekept. Museums cost money. You know, there's galleries and designer stuff and like people creating, but it's all something that you can't see unless you have money. And art shouldn't be monetized. I mean, pay the artist, but it should not be somewhere where people cannot see it in person. You know, it's so much different seeing pictures online of things, but when you're there in person, or when you get to actually experience it with the artist, it is something that I can't even explain. It's like just a happy heart. It's something that you can't experience any other way. So that's the other thing, is I'm actually working on a, I haven't done it yet, but a nonprofit for, and I was in, you know, Niagara Falls, and it's a little rough there, but bringing the art to the women in that area by opening up a studio for them to learn whatever kind of art they want to learn. So writing, painting, cooking, drawing, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, and then having a safe place for them to do that and a gallery where they can sell it if they want to.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth, I'm listening to you and I'm listening to your story and, you know, your journey. See, because a lot of times people see us where we are. You may see a rich person or a millionaire. You see them at the status that they are. But you don't know their journey. You don't know what they actually had to endure and go through before they got to where they are now, you know, some challenges. And so I would just like to say that I'm glad that you didn't allow the enemy to kill your dreams, as you say, alluding to your book, kill your dreams or your joy, to stop you from doing what you were passionate about and something that God had put in your heart to do. And because that's what happens, you know, they he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he trying to take away our will. And the will is that your will was way beyond what anyone could imagine, because just listening to you now, you know, you're a women's advocate, you know, and saying you want to bring the studio to Niagara Falls to show women all these different traits and how to do this and how to do that. Man, can you imagine when you were going bundling up the kids and trying to get this to eat and that to eat and envision where you are now? Man, that's...
No, this was way out of reach for me. Like I'm 11 times better now than I was then. It's a huge shift.
Yeah, because he's good. He's good. He's good. That's all I got. And to the point now where you had three jobs and doing photography and trying to feed the kids, not knowing which bill you're going to pay this time, to now, as you said earlier in the interview, now I make my own hours. Wow.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we got to just sit back and just think about that. Like, how far have I came? You know what I'm saying? From where I was at. And that's an incredible story. And so as we get ready to wind this up, Elizabeth, man, I've really been inspired by your story, honestly. What advice would you have for someone who would like to follow their dreams of going into art?
Oh, follow it. Follow it 100%. Don't take it so far where you're like, this is overwhelming, or feel like I love doing this. This has to be my only job. If it happens, great. But just invite it a tiny bit at a time into your life, and it naturally grows from there.
And so where can we find you at? Your social media handles, you know, things of that nature, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. What can we follow you at?
Yeah, so I actually stopped TikTok. because it just was not working for me. But Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, everything else. I'm on LinkedIn. So it's Elizabeth Snyder Photography or ESP LLC. But if you find me one place, you're going to find me other places.
Okay. I'm going to go out there and look for you today. So Elizabeth, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today before we leave?
Yeah, you know, we were on this whole art rant, and honestly, you serve no one by playing small, mm-hmm. even yourself. So don't play small. Start having a big dream and just start chipping away at it.
Hey, that's one to grow on right there. You heard it from Elizabeth Snyder. Dream big and go from there. This your boy CJ Moneyway. We out of here. Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.